he opens his mouth, you're going to feel it, and we're going to listen. So we bless him in Jesus' name.
Glad I'm not full of information technology. I'm going to put this down. I might need it. Grab your Bibles if you have them. How many of you have paper Bibles with you? Yes. Awesome. I think you might have an advantage. You are righteous and holy people. Real quick, we got some new business cards for the church. We did some evangelism classes and were challenged by Jesus through Hal Lindhart to be more diligent about reaching out and evangelizing. So we made a new card. It's not a whole lot different than the last one. But it's got our favorite phrase on the back. God loves you exactly the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. It has the service times, the website, the phone number, the address, but it also has one of these, what are these called? The little, what are those called? QR code. It's got a little QR code. And you can just pull out the camera on your phone and point it at it, and it opens the website. It's really cool. Okay? So we have those in the back. Please take them only if you're going to give them. We don't want you to have a giant pile of them sitting in your car and getting crinkled and wrecked, and these cost money, your money and my money. So we want to be good stewards of those. So those are in the back. We also have some cards for healing rooms. So some specific cards. They look different for healing rooms. It's also got the website and the phone number and all that good stuff. But on the back, it says, do you need a breakthrough? Riverhouse offers the opportunity for your healing miracle in a safe and professional environment with trained and experienced ministers. We would love to show you the healing part of Jesus' love. So Marcia designed these. She did an awesome job. So we have those as well in the back. And again, only grab them if you're going to actually pass them out and use them. Okay? Amen? Amen. Awesome stuff. All right, so if you have your Bibles, I got several scriptures for you today. I was going to say this is going to be short and sweet, but knowing me, that might be a lie. I will try and make it short. The Lord spoke to me, just downloaded a Rhema word during the week, and it was very simple. And you know the Lord can say something very short and concise, but it has such an incredible depth of meaning. So I want to unpack that a bit today, just set some context for what I'm going to share. So we're going to be in Numbers chapter 9, and I'm going to be verse 15 to 22. So you can either read that or just listen to me. Numbers chapter 9. Yeah. God started downloading in the wilderness, downloading instructions to Moses on the mountain for the tabernacle. Very specific instructions for the tabernacle and everything inside of it. And he commanded them on the first day of the first month of the year to set it up. So God downloaded the blueprints, they started building it, and the craftsmen started making everything according to the vision that Moses had. And then on the first day of the first month of their calendar, they set it up. So this is the context. Numbers 9:15. On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And at evening, it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, after that, the people of Israel set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. At the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out. And at the command of the Lord, they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Lord, they remained in camp. Then, according to the command of the Lord, they set out. And sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning. And when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or if it continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. I love that. That's just so beautiful. Wherever the cloud was, there they stayed. And if it moved, they moved. However long it stayed there, they stayed there. So the cloud of God's presence fell on the temple, specifically above the Ark of the Covenant, between the cherubim on the mercy seat. So we know that the Moses was commanded to make the lid over the ark, and the lid was called the mercy seat, and on both sides of the lid were two cherubim, and their wings were stretched out over the top, and their wings touched. And cherubim are guardian angels, not like angels that guard our life. They guard sacred space. They guard territory. They're territorial guardian spirits to keep the unholy out of a holy place. And we know that because it was cherubim specifically that were set at the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were cast out. And they had the flaming swords and they stood at the entrance of the Garden of Eden to guard it from any unholy person or any unholy thing coming into the Garden of Eden. So they were in charge of guarding a sacred space. So this mercy seat, where the cloud specifically would rest upon it, and God said, my presence would be there, had these cherubim with their wings over it, and it was set in the holy place, but not even in the holy place, in the holy of holies, and inside the holy of holies were these guardian cherubim who were covering the mercy seat in the holy of holies. I mean, like, the holiest space you can get on planet Earth was right there, that lid. And that's where the cloud settled. So every time Moses came to the tabernacle to meet with God, the cloud descended. And it says when they saw the cloud descended, all of Israel came out of their tents and they started worshiping the Lord. They started worshiping. And Moses went in to meet with God when that cloud descended. So Exodus 25:17 are the instructions here. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length. And a cubit is from your elbow to the tip of your finger. That's how long a cubit is. About 18 inches. Okay. So 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its breadth. You shall make 2 cherubim of gold. Of hammered work shall you make them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub on the one end and 1 cherub on the other end. Of 1 piece with the mercy seat shall you make the cherubim on its 2 ends. The cherubim shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings, their faces one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. And you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. Verse 22, there I will meet with you. There I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, I will speak with you about all that I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel. You know what's amazing in John, I think it might be in chapter 19 or 20, one of them, maybe 21, when Mary Magdalene was weeping at the tomb of Jesus, John had already ran. Peter and John are having a running race, and John beats him there, and he looks in, no Jesus. Peter, because he's bold, walked in and found that the shroud was folded up and the sheet was there, and then they left. And then Mary Magdalene and some other ladies went there, and Mary Magdalene wept on the outside of the empty tomb wondering where they took Jesus. And it says that she stooped to look in, and she saw two angels, one sitting at one end and one sitting at the other, where Jesus had lain, a picture of the mercy seat, an angel and an angel, one on each end, that mercy seat. It's just, it's amazing. There I will meet you. There I will meet you. But that was the meeting place. That's where the cloud of glory would come down and settle right between the cherubim on that seat of mercy in the Holy of Holies inside the tabernacle. And the voice would come from that place and speak to Moses. Amazing. In the form of a cloud. I love this scripture here. We know that, that cloud and that pillar of fire represents God's presence. And the Hebrew word, the Old Testament word for presence, actually means face. It's the word face. So you could substitute face every time you see the word presence. Yeah. We take for granted God's presence. I mean, we just take it for granted. Like, we feel this feeling and we go, oh, God's here. And it's this kind of intangible, his presence. But we don't imagine, actually, his face just walked into the room. His being, him, he just walked into the room. And when I feel his presence, he's locking eyes with me. We forget what that means. We take his presence for granted. But Ezekiel 39:29 says this. It's awesome. I will not hide my face any more from them when I pour out my spirit upon the house of Israel, declares the Lord. Holy Spirit, when he gets poured out, is the presence and the face of God poured out on his people. He's pouring himself out and giving of himself. So we read in Acts chapter 2, the outpouring of the Spirit, and we focus on the tongues and the wind and, you know, tongues of fire, and it's like, oh, wow, so cool. But God is saying here that when I pour out my Spirit, my face is coming to you. My face is coming to you. My presence is coming to you. And when you have the Holy Spirit, you have my face. You have my face. What a beautiful, amazing thing. Isaiah 44:1, I love this. But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb, and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Jeshurun is a nickname. It means upright one or redeemed one, the one who has been made right. My servant, Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, the one I have made upright, the one I've made right. Don't be afraid. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, I am the Lord's. And another will call on the name of Jacob, and another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. There's some awesome promises in here. One, when God pours out his spirit, when is that? It's now. It's been going on for 2,000 years. He still is pouring out his spirit on men and women. So when is this promise for us? Now. It's right now. So this isn't like future tense for us. This is now. This is accessible and available now to us. So when God pours out his spirit, he is saying, thirsty places get water. Thirsty places get water. Do you have any dry places in you? I do. Well, how do we get those undry? How do we quench the thirst of those dry places? God says, it's the Holy Spirit. It's my Spirit. It's my Spirit. Let Holy Spirit come and water them. Dry ground becomes a spring. Dry ground becomes a spring. I mean, that's amazing to think about. If you've ever gone to the desert, it's just like dry, crusty dirt that nothing grows in. And he's like, that place, I will turn it into a spring of water, a source of life. Won't be dry anymore. It's amazing. When the Spirit comes, a blessing comes also. Let me say this again. Read this again. I will pour my Spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Blessing and Holy Spirit are synonyms there. You want blessings from the Lord? Get the Holy Spirit. Get the Holy Spirit. You and your kids and your grandkids won't just be green grass, right? He says, they shall spring up among the grass, your descendants. They won't just be green grass. They will spring up and rise among the green grass, and they will be like watered willow trees compared to the grass. Come on. Your descendants will rise above those around them that don't have the Spirit. They will be trees that drip with life and green compared to everyone else is just grass. When the Spirit gets poured out. It's awesome. I love it. The last thing that's mentioned here is a change of identity. A change of identity. We read that. This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another one will write on his hand, the Lord's property. This belongs to Jesus. Don't touch, right? And name himself by the name of Israel. A change in identity. Who are you? I'm the Lord's. What's your name? My name is I belong to God. When the Holy Spirit gets poured out on you, there is something incredible that happens in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to get here to what the Lord spoke to me. But there's so many promises and so many, there's so many phrases we're so used to that they absolutely lose their power. And when the Lord spoke to me, he spoke to me something that we've all heard and we all know, and I could say it to you and you'd be like, well, yeah, of course. But man, it hit me. When I thought about it, I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That is incredible. So if Jews wanted to meet with God, they would have to go and take a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Sometimes it was many days they would have to go if they wanted to go meet with God. They would pilgrimage many days, and guess what? How far could they get in? The outer court. That's it. That's it. That's as far as they could go, is the outer court. They couldn't get into the holy place. They couldn't especially get into the Holy of Holies. Only priests that won a lottery, they cast lots for the priests that would go in on the Day of Atonement into the Holy Holies for one moment in the whole year. One priest. That's it. If you weren't a priest, guess what? You were not getting in. You had to be born into that deal. So a farmer or a tradesman or a tent maker or a shepherd or a fisherman or a tax collector or anybody else, there you are not getting into that place. You can go outside the building. Now, can you imagine, like, I don't know, just church being so incredible that people would come and just stand outside the parking lot and outside the building and go, oh, God, look how close I am. Look how close I am. I'm almost in. I'm that close. That is as close as they could ever hope to get. And what's incredible is that psalmists wrote about, there's psalms about this. They wrote about the pleasure of taking a long pilgrimage just to stand outside of the temple, to be in the court of God, right? Enter his courts with praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Like, well, we're going to go in the gates, and here I am. I'm in the court. Praise God. Look how close I am. There's just this wall separating me from the holy place, and then a little bit beyond that's a curtain, and the Holy of Holies, it's like, it's right there on the other side of that wall and that curtain. Look how close I get to be. And they're rejoicing, and they're grateful, and they're thankful, and they spent time and money and resources and days out in the weather walking just to be outside of the building that God's presence is in. That's amazing. And on all these festivals, there's millions of people packed in like sardines outside the courts. And if you could get up the steps into the actual court, like, man, you did pretty good, because there's a million people here trying to get close to the building. And that's as far as they could ever hope to get in their whole life. And they were grateful and thankful for it. Can you imagine a prophet in that crowd leaning over to a regular farmer that made that trip, that spent his money, that camped and squeezed his way through the crowd to get just close to that wall, to the entrance. And the prophet leaning over into his ear and saying, hey, one day you're going to get to go in there. What? Let's just say it's Elijah. Let's say it's a prophet of reputation. And he leans over and says, one day you are going to get to go in there. What? How could that be? That guy would just be like, oh, me? I'm not a priest. Wow. One day you'll be allowed in there. Guess what? One day this temple won't even be here anymore. There's going to be millions of temples. What? Yeah, millions of temples. And guess what? One of those temples will be you. Wait, what? We pilgrimage to this temple to get near God's presence. And you're saying, I am going to become God's temple? What? What? You will be his temple one day. The cloud of glory one day will rest on you instead of that building. What? One day God will put his mercy seat, the place where he sits, the holiest of holiest places, he's going to put it in you. In the pillar of fire and the cloud, the Holy Spirit, God's face, his presence, is going to rest on you. What? What? And wherever the cloud goes, you're going to go. And God is going to be so one with you that wherever you go, the cloud goes. What? That's incredible. Can you imagine that farmer or that fisherman or that regular guy walking away from there, traveling home, just going, how can this be possible? the building won't be there anymore one day. And I will be his temple. One day, instead of people traveling to the temple to hear from God, to get near his presence, one day, people will actually come to you to hear the words that come out of your mouth because God is in you. What? What? People are going to pilgrimage to me? One day? The presence of God in you will be so strong that people will come just so you can touch them so that they can get healed and set free. What? I was walking around the house, minding my business, not praying, not seeking the Lord, just walking. I don't remember what was going on in my brain. And this is what I heard. Don't you know that you're the temple of God? And it hit me like this, like, whoa. Wait a second, whoa. Don't you know you are the temple, exact quote is, of the Holy Spirit. You are the landing place for the presence of God. You are the landing place for the face of God. You are the recipient of the blessing of the Holy Spirit. You are that once dry ground that's now become a spring and a well of life. You are the one who the cloud of glory rests upon. People will pilgrimage to you. It sounds crazy, but guess what? You're all sitting here, some of you, to listen to what I'm going to say. That's nuts. That's crazy. But it's because God. Not because of me. It's because God. He has turned us all into walking, breathing, moving, responding, holy of holy, mercy seat dwelling inside us, carriers of the glory of God. Whoa. You can say it. Whoa. We read that. Don't you know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? Well, yeah, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. Whoa. If you think about it, if you ever said that to a normal Jew, to any Jew, your body will be God's temple one day. What? It is incredible and overwhelming and honoring and humbling and amazing and true. It's true. Oh, do you not know? You are a temple of God. What is the tabernacle? What is the temple without the cloud of glory? What is it? It's a sacred space. It's holy to the Lord. But it's a building. It's a tent with some cool stuff inside. It was the presence and the glory of God that made it special. Without the baptism, without the immersion of the Holy Spirit on us, we're still holy, we're still righteous, we're still a son or a daughter, but we're a cloudless, gloryless tent or temple. Jesus died for us to be filled with glory. He died for us to be filled with glory. The zeal for his Father's house consumes him. Where's his Father's house? You. Zeal for his Father's house consumes him. zeal for you to be filled with the presence of God. In a meeting place where people can come and encounter God. That's what Jesus died for. That's what he paid for. That's what he's zealous for. He's zealous for his Father's house, you and I. If we love Jesus, we should love the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Me and my Father will come and live in you. We will make our dwelling in you." Speaking of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:49 says, "Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you." Holy Spirit is God's promise. It's not God's suggestion, not God's good idea if you want it, not God's side blessing. Holy Spirit coming upon you, the cloud of glory filling the temple, is a promise from the Father, and he is faithful to keep his promises. He says, "I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Another synonym for the Holy Spirit we said was blessing. Here's another one, power. Power. It was the presence of God that made the temple holy. Acts 1:4, "While staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." One of the reasons that Jesus came was to turn us into a temple, but to fill us with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:11, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Who does the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Jesus is the baptizer. Just like John took people and dunked them in the substance called water, Jesus takes us and dunks us in the substance called Holy Spirit, called the face of God, called blessing and promise, called the cloud of glory and fire. Holy Spirit is the substance we get immersed in. I don't baptize you in the Holy Spirit. No one else baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. God may use our hands, but Jesus is the baptizer, and the Holy Spirit is the substance. It's a promise from the Father. Acts 2:2, "Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting." Verse 4, "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance." Several chapters later, which is probably several months, maybe even a year or more, Acts 4, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Same guys, filled again. And you see this, that people get filled again and filled again and filled again and filled again. You can get baptized in water, but once you get out and stand there long enough, you're going to dry off. When we get baptized in the Spirit, God wants us to stay full of the Spirit, to be immersed in the Spirit. Acts 19:1, "It's possible to believe in Jesus. It's possible to be water baptized and not be filled with the Holy Spirit." Acts 19:1, "It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' They said, 'No, we haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit.' And he said, 'Into what then were you baptized?' if you weren't baptized into the Spirit, what substance were you baptized in? They said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. They got baptized. Their temple got filled with the cloud of glory. This is what I'd like to do. I'd like everyone to come up front and just get refilled. Or filled for the first time. And this is what we're going to do. We're not going to focus on weird stuff happening. We're not going to focus on, well, I need this person to touch me so that they can baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Jesus does the baptizing. People may touch you, but Jesus is the one that does the immersing. And the Holy Spirit filling you and baptizing you is the Father's promise. He's not a liar. He's not a liar. It's the Father's promise. If you ask, you'll receive. You keep on asking. Keep on getting filled. Keep on getting filled. While we are doing that, yeah, can I get the worship team back up? And we're going to trust that Jesus is going to baptize you while you're playing. Ha. Okay. Put your focus on Jesus. Don't you know you are God's temple? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are his temple, and the mercy seat lives in you. And the mercy seat was designed for the presence of God, for the cloud. Why don't you just begin by thanking the Lord? What an unbelievable, amazing promise that God has made, that he would turn us into his temple. He would put the Holy of Holies inside of us. Just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And say, God, let your glory fill this temple. Let the cloud fall on the mercy seat of my heart. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Jesus, come and baptize us. In the cloud, in the glory, in the blessing, in the promise, in the Holy Spirit. Ha! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. If I can just have some of the leadership team just walk around, just lay hands on people, just bless them. Michael and Abby and Claire. Thank you, Lord. Ha! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ha, receive the promise. Receive the Father's promise. Just breathe in. Just breathe in. Just breathe in. Thank you, Lord. Ha. Thank you, Lord. Pour yourself out, Holy Spirit.